Now the story of a turnaround on the street from someone who pleads for empathy on all sides, but barely survived what it took to get here to tell his story. Dee Watkins would say he does come from a war zone, the streets of East Baltimore, where violence and tragedy were the cross streets to a wide avenue of hopelessness. He says he saw his brother die. He's a former drug dealer himself, and at age 14, he wrote a paper in history class called The 15 Times I Was Almost Murdered. But after attending college and getting a master's degree in education from Johns Hopkins University and an MFA in creative writing from the University of Baltimore, his latest book was published last year, and it's called The Beast Side, Living and Dying While Black in America. Dee Watkins is now a teacher, calling for the same kind of empathy on all sides that President Obama spoke about in Dallas this week. Through the Baltimore Writers Project, Dee Watkins has found a voice and the way to show others how to find their own voices of hope and respect.
It's a transformative moment. It's a very, very, very dark time in our country. And what I would like to see is a lot of writers take the opportunity to express themselves while considering people who they would call the other side. I think it's a time for unity, but I think we're not going to really get there until we really flesh these feelings out.
What is an example of something that needs to be fleshed out as opposed to stating positions, which we've heard before? Everyone's against guns, everyone's against racism, but when it gets down to actual what I'm going to do, that's a different story.
The first thing I wanted to do was get out there and let our police officers know that I don't want to see any of you ever be hurt or die. That's a horrible thing. I employ people, and these people, they pay taxes, and we want to be protected, and we want to be taken care of, and we want these rights. So we respect you and what you do, and we don't want to see you go through pain. But at the same time, we want you guys to feel the same way about us. Police officers, especially where I'm from, treat me like I'm an out-of-control crazy person, like I'm not a writer, like I'm not a professor, like I'm not a person that tries his best to engage young people and bring about positive change.
So let's say I'm standing in front of you and I'm saying, hey, Black Lives Matter, without saying Asian Lives Matter and all the other lives matter, or President Obama is endorsing a war against cops. He's favoring Black Lives Matter, and that means he's endorsing a war on cops. How do you reach behind those words that on the first glance are very upsetting and just try to get that empathy thing that you're talking about?
So, for me, I think that the women who started this movement, they wanted to raise awareness and put fiery energy behind some of the murders that have been going viral in our country. I don't think it was a disrespect to white people. I don't think it's a disrespect to Asians. I don't think it's a disrespect to anyone. It's one movement. It's like, I'm not going to walk into a rally where someone is trying to raise awareness on HIV/AIDS and start yelling out cancer matters. There's so many different fights that need to be fought in this country, and this is just one.
If we were actually in the same community together and this was a natural integration of American life, what do you imagine we would talk about other than these difficult conversations?
Our country has just so many things that could make America a better place, but yet we can't get past something simple as race. And I go places and I interact with all types of people, and our conversations, they already extend beyond race. We talk about these issues when it becomes like hot topics in the media, but how can we be more efficient with energy, technology? How can we educate more? What is life like in different parts of the country? Like all of these different things that can help us become better people.
What did your older brother teach you?
How to run towards problems. He always used to have a real big issue with people that just okay, I'll take care of this later. I'll take care of that later. His thing was always to run towards it. This is the worst thing that can happen to me. Okay, cool. Let me just dive right into it.
Your brother was brave?
Yeah, I think he was. I think he was intelligent, and I think he was brave. I don't think he had the skill set to push that bravery as far as it could have went. because him, like a lot of people from my neighborhood and my family, they just didn't travel enough. You know, they just did. I feel like so many people, their lives would be different if they just got outside of the neighborhood. Like my whole world was in my neighborhood. So, you know, it was a point in my own life where if you didn't live on a certain block or a certain street, I wasn't even really willing to open up and talk to you. And that's crazy. This is why, like, a dude on the street can just blow somebody else's head off. It's like, we can't communicate. We can't communicate because we're not being exposed to anything. So it just stuck.
So politically, before we go, what does leadership mean at the national level or the city level or at a level that's going to affect groups that don't see each other on the street corner but maybe do have a chance to come together?
I think we move past the point of one person bringing everybody together. You know, I think as educators, as parents, as people who do community work, we just have to do our job at exposing other people to different realities. I don't know what it's like to be an Asian trying to assimilate to American culture at a big university. I don't know these things, but I think if we share this place together, I need to acknowledge those experiences. I need to listen to those people when they tell those stories, just like I want them to listen to mine. And I think if we do that, social relations will enhance. I don't think political leadership is going to be the key for this generation. I think it's about us just acknowledging each other and sharing our stories, you know, simple stuff.
D. Watkins, thanks so much.
Hey, thank you. Have a blessed one.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.